IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning. My name is Kathy Kaler, and thank you so much to Howard Feldman for allowing me to come in and do an update on the UOS. It is certainly overdue. We have definitely seen some changes at the UOS, which is positive because change is good, especially when, you know, you're a big organization and you're not used to being transparent. Well, certainly in the last 5 years or since 2013, any transparency has disappeared. So, you know, it's not going to be easy, and it was never going to be easy. Anyhow, I'm going to be doing an update. If you would like to get in touch with me, if you've got any questions, any comments, I welcome them. And this is how you get in touch. You can send an SMS to the studio, and that number is 34519. Those SMSs are charged at 1 rand 50. You can also send a telegram if you are on, if you have the Telegram app. It is a free app. It works like WhatsApp, but it's not WhatsApp, and it's certainly more secure and more stable. So you can send through a telegram on 061-895-1019. Okay, so let's go back. It all started with a little company called Honeyfields. And this was in October, well, certainly on the 8th of October, the UOS, that's the Union of Orthodox Synagogues Kashrut Department, issued this this notification that said, you know, that Honeyfields is no longer kosher. It's a contractual disagreement, and any product, any of their products is not kosher. What subsequently has emerged is that Honeyfields had an outstanding account around about 350 rand, and for that their heksher was withdrawn. It was not a kashrut issue. And I'll tell you why it's not a kashrut issue. In October last year, Honeyfields had an inspection. That inspection was done by Rabbi Shmuley. His name goes out of my head. Sorry, it will come to me. But this Rabbi Shmuley went to go and do an inspection. Found that there were certain things that needed to happen. The molds needed to be color coded. There were three things. It wasn't a kashrut rather than operational. He went back. Now, if you've sent an inspector and you have things to implement, you are surely going to follow up. So that was supposed to happen in February this year. Rabbi Shmuley did not. He was supposed to go back, and he was told by the UOS not to go back and check out, you know, if the changes had been implemented. So then we know that it's perhaps not a kashrut issue. All this time, Honeyfields had the heksha until October this year, when the UOS withdrew it, the kosher certification. If it was a kashrut issue, then surely the notification should have gone out at the time when they were found to be in breach of kashrut. If it wasn't, then don't say that it was. Then say, you know what, it's a contractual issue, they owe us money, and that's it. You want to buy the product, buy the product, it's still kosher. It's just not certified kosher, and I think that that's very important for us to recognize, is that there are certain, just generally, as a general note, there are certain items that do not need kosher certification. Coffee beans, sugar, water, flour, they do not need kosher certification. Whether they have a heksha or they don't have a heksha, they are kosher. That's just an aside. Anyhow, so what happened with Honeyfields is that George Georgiades, who is the owner and the CEO of Honeyfields, put out a letter. He put it into the public domain. He used words like mafia, which is not the first time that I'd heard the term referred to, you know, in reference to the UOS. And he quoted a 600% price hike. And I just thought, 600%? How's that possible? There must be a mistake. And so I called George. And it turns out that it actually was a 600% price increase. For big manufacturers, small manufacturers, whoever it was, And that was in October last year. Most of these companies, you know, they get charged annually, and I think that they have a choice whether they pay it annually or whether they pay it monthly. And that's really where it all started, because after speaking to George, all of a sudden all these other companies started coming forward. And companies that were specific, you know, George produces, Honeyfields produces these sugar cones for ice creams. You can get them in lots of different stores. And now we were hearing from people who specifically manufacture to the kosher market. What's happened with that is that some of these local manufacturers are actually looking to overseas hechshers. A hechsher is the kosher stamp. And some of them have been accepted. Some of them will be finishing out their current contract with the UOS. Some will be moving over. But what about the big manufacturers? I'm going to be talking about that because, you know, in terms of the smaller manufacturers, and this all comes down to pricing for you and me. A smaller manufacturer has to put the prices up in order to accommodate the fees of the Beth Din. The Beth Din have made changes. They've sat down with the smaller manufacturers and they said, you know, how can we help you? And they've negotiated, which is commendable and expected, right? And their opinion is, you know what, the bigger manufacturers can afford it. Now, as a business person, and if you're a business person, if you look at profit and loss, right, there's something called a return on investment, which means that if you are putting in $100,000 to a project, you are going to expect back in return $200,000 or $300,000, right? Even $50,000 or $150,000. So you cover your cost and you're able to make money. That's what a return on investment is. What's happening with a lot of companies is, and I think that it's actually a trend that's going to continue, is that they're looking at this and they're saying, well, you know what? We're paying these exorbitant, and they really are exorbitant fees, to, you know, for the kosher heksha. But at most, there's maybe 10,000 Jews who are insisting on a heksha before they eat kosher or drink kosher. 10,000 Jews. Is that equating to our investment? Because that's really what the fees are. And when you subscribe for kosher certification, it's an investment, right? You want to grow your market. You want to appeal to a specific sector of the population. Well, I'll give you an example of something that's happened, and I don't think that it's unique. In June this year, there's a company, we all know, Food Lovers Market. Food Lovers Market produced under their own label, biscuits, lemon creams and Mari biscuits under their own label. It wasn't coming from bakers. And so these were actually Parav, which means that they didn't have any milk in it, which was great. It was good for people who are lactose intolerant. It's also good for the kosher market because now you could use it for baking. You could use it for eating. You could serve it as dessert after having a meat meal. They decided to drop the heksha, right? The company that manufactures it, not Food Lovers Market. Food Lovers Market subcontracts the production. So the company, it's called Continental Foods, and they, for these two lines of biscuits, they were paying the 2019-2020 R36,200. Now you have to sell a lot of biscuits to recoup that, because with VAT, okay, so you get your VAT back, but it's 41,630. And they looked at it as a business decision, as most businesses will. And they said, you know what? We're not going to do this. It just doesn't make sense for us anymore. From a business point of view, I called the company. I spoke to them. They weren't willing to come on air, which I understand. You know, for them, it's like you win some, you lose some. I mean, that was really the attitude. But very, very willing to share information with me. And I looked at that and I just thought, how long is it going to be until more companies start looking at it as a business decision? Because it's no longer an investment. If you are paying for more than you are getting back, it's a bad investment, and people drop bad investments. Why does the Bethden, why does the UOS have such a high cash requirement? You know, Dovi Goldstein sat here, well, sat here in an interview that I did with him. He is the managing director of the Kashrut department. And he said, you know, they've got 600 manufacturers, and, you know, on average, they're paying 5,000 rand a month. That equates to 3 million rand a month. Plus the butchers for the shchita and everything are paying 1.5 million rand a month. Let that just sink in a second. It's 4.5 million rand a month to the UOS. When you think about it, they've got 44 staff members. How is it possible that, you know, on average, people are earning such high salaries? Either that, or maybe the top management are just, maybe it's a very, very top heavy organization. Maybe it's a case of too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And I say that because it's all filtering down into the operations. When I think back to pre-2013, and that really for me was where we started seeing changes in the US. In 2013, something very significant happened. A meeting happened at the on the 5th of December, 2013. I have the minutes to that meeting, and it was signed into the board that Rabbi Kurtzdag and the chief rabbi, Warren Goldstein, were going to take over as EMI. It was referred to as the EMI. The EMI is effectively fulfilling the role of Rosh Beth Din, the head of the Beth Din of the court, and the CEO of the UOS. Rabbi Kurtzdag then retired. Whether it was voluntary or whether it was forced, let's leave that as another discussion. But he hasn't been replaced. And so effectively, we have Dr. Warren Goldstein, who is the CEO, the chief rabbi, and the Rosh Beth Din. And I think that that's quite a dangerous situation to have. I think in terms of capacity, I don't think that it's possible for one person to have capacity. And we saw that, you know, when I interviewed him and I said, well, how much does this department bring in and how much do they cost? How much does this department bring in? How much do they cost? He wasn't able to answer any of those questions. How much does your department bring in? What's your budget that the UOS gives you for the office of the chief rabbi? He wasn't able to answer. You can go back and listen to those interviews. They are podcast. You'll find them on highfm.com. Either that or he did know and he didn't say and wouldn't say, which I think is also problematic. But, you know, it's not about what I think. It's about what you think. So these are questions that I think we need to be posing to the UOS. Why isn't there a Rosh Beth Din? And we think that you should appoint one, an independent one, not a board member, somebody who's suitably qualified, somebody who has studied Dayanos, who perhaps not even local, but somebody who is qualified. It's not enough that you have two rabbis in Cape Town and three rabbis here who form a Beth Din. You need a Rosh Beth Din. And it needs to be run as a separate entity, as a separate organization, because otherwise you have things like conflicts of interest, right? I mean, think of it this way. If most of your income is coming from the Kashrut department, and there's some kind of question, it's in the interests of the rabbis who work for the Beth Din to agree with whatever it is that the Kashrut department, why? Because, or what the Kashrut department is saying, because they pay their salaries. And I think that that's a lot of what's happening. You know, the Dayanim did not know about Honeyfields. So we know it wasn't a Kashrut issue. That notification is really what started the ball rolling, because now all of a sudden the community were asking questions about finances and the roles. And in all the interviews, and I've watched all the webinars, you know, everything is about the board, the board, the board, the board. So the head of the board is a man by the name of Harold Novick, who has been surprisingly silent on all of this. I mean, firstly, he wouldn't agree to an interview. I sent a WhatsApp message to him because he wasn't taking my calls, and this has been for weeks. Eventually last week I sent him a message and I said, look, I know that the buck stops with you. Will you come on air and let's get some answers from you? This is the chairman of the UOS board. And his answer was, I know where the buck stops, which is lucky. And the UOS will be releasing statements in their own, through their own channels and through the Jewish Report. Okay, fair enough. When you see him, maybe you can ask Harold Novick the following questions. It was stated that all departments report to the board and the board is ultimately responsible, right? This was in all their webinars. So the chairman of the board, Mr. Harold Novick, if so, is with whom the proverbial buck stops, correct? Absolutely. I mean, that's something that the chief rabbi said again and again and again on this radio station, on webinars, on their own, on his own podcast. So I think that it is it not strange? Ask him why he's remained silent. Is it not strange that he's remained silent throughout? Surely he should be up there on the platform responding to all the allegations and not have his employees do it. Bearing in mind that the chief rabbi and, David Goldstein are employees. When you see Harold, maybe you can ask him that. I just think that it speaks to accountability, and as a community, we need accountability. We need, as we are diminishing in size, we need to look at what is affordable to the community. And you can tell me any which way you like that the money for the UOS is coming from the Kashrut department. It's not coming from community. It is coming from the community. It's because we buy those products. It may be coming indirectly, but it is community money. It is still community money. I'm very interested to know what your thoughts are. 34519. As a community, we need organizations that are affordable, that are accessible, and that are accountable. Those three things. Affordable means affordable to us. You know, when the financial director of a charity organization or a non-profit organization is earning 200,000 rand a month, which is community money, and I don't think that it makes a difference whether it comes from one donor or whether it's come from 1,000 donors, but I think that there has to be transparency. If the community are happy with it, then let that be. If the community are not happy with it, then it needs to change. We need to engage. We can no longer be complacent. For a long time, organizations have just run, you know, they've just done their own thing because when they called an AGM, nobody arrived. And to get people to an AGM was a chore and a task, and it was hard. You and I need, as community members, we need to hold our leadership to account. And I think that we do need to call for transparency across the board. I think that it starts with the UOS because they are so very, very central to our lives as South African Jews. If you want to get married, if you want to get converted into Judaism, if you want anything, anything and everything has to go through the Beth Din. They're very central, and it's very important that that these organizations are actually there and made to account, and that they are working. That's the whole point, and that's the whole reason that we've done this. This isn't a personal crusade. You know, I spoke about 2013. In 2013, saw the departure of a guy by the name of Darren Sevitz. Darren Sevitz was the CEO of the UOS. And Dr. Warren Goldstein, the chief rabbi, in his interview with me, kind of alluded to the fact that when they opened the bonnet, it was a terrible mess. Okay. But I'll tell you something, is that Kashrut alerts went out on time. Just recently, right, let me actually just find the date here, Jelly Tots. Jelly Tots are no longer kosher certified. That happened in about June, July of this year. The alert only went out on the 18th of October. So unless somebody was actually looking for the Beth Din stamp, they were effectively having non-kosher because now they were using grape juice, and that's hugely problematic from a crush root point of view. The whole story with these biscuits that I started off talking about from Food Lovers Market, they stopped being kosher certified in June. The notification only went out on the 4th of November. So June, July, August, September, October, November. That's 6 months later. Fortunately, in that case, it's not a huge kashrut issue because they haven't changed their recipe. They haven't changed anything. So effectively, it's still a kosher product. But it's coming down to the nitty gritties. It's not functioning as an organization. I took the opportunity to actually call up Darren Servitz and find out what he thought. One, he was devastated about what was happening because he cares about the community, and he also knows the organization that he left was actually working and functioning. He's got a non-disclosure agreement. So he's got a non-disclosure contract. So, you know, while I can ask him lots of questions, and I did ask him, I said, what does this one earn and what does that one earn? He said, look, I know, but I can't tell you, and I'm not going to tell you. I also asked him to come on air. He didn't want to do that either. But I did ask him about some other systems, about how it was working. And, you know, it just seemed like there was a different level of management with Darren Servitz when he was involved. And this isn't about Darren Servitz. Please don't get me wrong. This is about having an organization that serves this community, and it does it effectively, that it is that everybody has a win-win situation. You can't tell me about we don't need another heksha. The other hekshas are already here. They are already here. There are inspectors who are working for other hekshas. Kosher, the London Beth Din, Kosher Montreal, the OU, they have inspectors here. And that's how they're doing it. So you can't say that it's the Beth Din heksha or nothing, because there are other hekshas. Anyhow, I'm out of time. It is 9 o'clock. You want to get in touch with me? My email is Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at chaifm.com. I will keep you updated. And next time we're going to be talking about inspections. So I wish you a wonderful day. And, yeah. Also, what's important is not, it's not only about what goes into our mouth. It's what comes out. Have a fantastic day. God bless. Bye bye.